Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for having me come and share from the Word this morning. As you heard from Jasmine, the reading was from Joshua chapter 5. And before I start, I might just pray and give it to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come here as a team. And I thank you that we're already being encouraged, and I ask that we might be an encouragement to those here in Moree, both in the church and outside of the church, Lord, that we might be your hands and feet in this place. And I thank you for the opportunity that you have opened up to share from your word, and I ask that by your Holy Spirit that it would be your words spoken this morning and not mine. And so I give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So at Cape and Ray, I've been working there on staff since September last year, and it was last semester, around November, I was in my unit, and I was sitting down on the couch on a Monday morning when all of a sudden, I see Dan, the property manager, running across in front of my unit, and I thought, oh, that's a bit strange, I don't usually see Dan running. And then, so I go outside, and all of a sudden I see this rogue cow just kind of running around the property. And so I thought, I slipped on my shoes and I ran after him, only to find that there was about five other people already on board trying to bring this thing back into a bit of an orderly situation. And so we're running, and then all of a sudden this cow, it goes all the way down the back of the property, and luckily Cape and Ray's got paddocks all around it. And so what the plan was, we wanted to try and get it into a gateway. And this thing had been worked up, and it wasn't our cow. It had come from a farm down the road, and it was, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a cow worked up, but it was foaming. I'm pretty sure you have, and it was huffing and puffing. And so we're trying to get this thing under some kind of orderly situation here. And she's in the corner. We're trying to get her in this gateway, and we're doing this thing where we've got like a bit of a semicircle of people, and we're kind of doing the one step in. All of a sudden, things take a turn for the worse, and she turns around and heads straight for me. And she's got these horns, you know, about this long, and I thought, oh no, this is the end. And I'm running, I'm actually running and running and running. And all of a sudden, she whips her head, and just as she whips, like I launch myself to the side, and she keeps going straight, and I feel like, oh man, I thought she was about to do it. I don't know if you've ever seen Braveheart, but I thought I was about to cry out for freedom, but it wasn't good. And the thing is, I wanted her to go one way, into where I wanted to go, into the paddock that I wanted to go, but she was going the way that she was going, and there was nothing I could do about it. And she was at full speed. And, you know, it was one of those moments where I felt like everything was slowing down. I wanted to force her in one direction, through a specific gateway, at a specific time, but that wasn't what was going to happen. And when the push came to shove, either I went where she was going, or I had to jump out of the way. I couldn't make that cow fit the mold that I wanted her to fit in. How many times does your Christian life largely consist of expectations that God should fit the mold that you want him to conform to? How many times does our walk with Jesus look like, I want you to do this at this time, in this way, and then go in this direction? But I'm not saying that God's a cow in any way, but for use of an illustration, God's going in a direction, and his plan will come to fruition. He will do what he will do. And the idea isn't supposed to be, God, I want you to do it my way. The idea is, let's jump on with what God's already doing. You know, it's so easy to say, this is where I'm going, God. These are my ambitions. I want you to come and help me fulfill what I want to do. I want you to be a part of what I want to do, but it's time for a bit of a paradigm shift, if that's where we're thinking. And so I might just read the passage once more and to familiarize with what's happening here in Joshua. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals, for your feet, from your feet, the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. So, to put a bit of context to the passage here, Moses has not long died, and we read in the first chapter of Joshua that he's been commissioned now to lead this whole nation. And the Lord has said to him in Joshua 1 verse 2, "Now therefore go, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them." And so Joshua knew he'd just been commissioned. He knew that the Lord was going to give them the land. But you can almost imagine as he looks around and he sees, actually, it's inhabited by all these other people with armies and fortresses. As I put myself in his shoes, I can only imagine that I'd be a little bit stressed out at this point. I've only just been commissioned to be leading a whole nation. And now God's saying, "Okay, go and possess the land that I'm giving to you." So I just wonder how often in our own lives do we know the destination that we're going in our Christian life. I think for all of us, if we know the Lord, our destination is heaven someday. How often do we know that, or do we know the direction that God's taking? But as soon as we see the armies and the fortresses on the way, we immediately try to take things into our own hands. I know for me that there's been plenty of times that I know that God has a plan for my life. I know that He's good. I know that I have Christ. I know that I have eternal security. I know that I'm going to be in heaven one day. But as I'm walking that journey, going in that direction, when I see the armies and the fortresses, when I look out, I can tend to take things into my own hands, and that's not what we're to do. And so you can only imagine what might have been going through Joshua's head at this point, maybe with the weight of the world on his shoulders. Have you ever felt overwhelmed, under pressure, like it's you against everyone? Like you've been given more responsibility than you can handle, maybe. I've felt like that before. And so Joshua, he goes out before Jericho, this city that is in this land that God's saying, "I'm going to give to you." And he's standing out before the city, before the walls of Jericho, and he sees this man standing there. And as I'm reading, I'm picturing everything that's just happened to Joshua, being commissioned, having all this responsibility, seeing these armies and these fortresses. And in that moment, he sees this man and he says, "Are you for us or are you against us? are you going to join our team or are you against us?" And what he doesn't realize is that, in fact, this isn't just any man. But standing before him, and here is a big word, but the pre-incarnate Jesus. And we see a few times through the Old Testament where Jesus actually, there were these times that happened called Christophanies, where Christ, pre his coming as a baby, made appearances. And he came with two angels to Abraham, and there were other times. And so here standing before him is the pre-incarnate Christ, the commander of the Lord's army. And when he responded to Joshua with a no, I'm not on your team, I'm actually neither, Joshua soon realized, oh my, I think I know who I'm talking to here. And so Joshua fell on his face, the word tells us. And so when you think about your own life, do you look to Jesus and say, are you going to join my team? Are you for me or against me? And maybe the answer is shocking when you read this passage where he actually responds with a no. I'm not on your team. And so I think the answer is a life with Jesus is understanding that it's his team, not my team. And the biggest thing that gets in the way of us realizing we're on the wrong team is this idea that I can do this life my way. And I can do it in my own strength. And when we continue to live in this mentality that I can do it my way in my own strength, we fall into the same trap of what Joshua fell into by saying to God, are you going to come and join my team? Are you going to come and do what I'm doing? He soon realized who he was talking to. What do you do when you come up against the Jericho fortresses in your own life? What's your response? And what are they? What are those struggles that you come up against? The struggles. I'm confident that I have to keep myself, and because of that, I'm a confident person. And so when I'm doing preaching or when I'm doing music or whatever it might be in some kind of leadership role, the weakness in that is that because it's a gifting that can come easily to me, I can tend to try and do it in my own strength without even realizing. And so for me, that can be a bit of a Jericho fortress in my life, something that I come up against. And so I've continually got to humble myself and understand I can't do this. This isn't the Caleb show. This isn't me saying, Jesus, come and jump on board with what I'm doing, but realizing, oh, this isn't me, this is you, this is your team. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to jump on board with your team because aside from that, I can do nothing. And when I realize that and when I walk in that, that's when walls start to fall down like in Jericho. And in Joshua 24:14-15, it says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. And that's got to be at the forefront of our mind. What are the gods in our own life? Maybe it's like I just explained, maybe for you there is something even within your own self that can be a god. And maybe it's a materialistic thing, but whatever it might be, we've got to lay them aside and we've got to choose today, who am I going to serve? Who am I going to follow? And not have the mentality that it's the other way around. Because when Joshua came before the commander of the army of the Lord, it was almost a mentality of, are you going to serve me? But we've got to flip it. We've got to flip it over. So a life with Jesus is understanding that it's his team, not our team. And a life with Jesus is understanding that it's his plan too. It's not my plan. It's his plan. And in verse 14, Joshua quickly realized the King of Kings was standing before him. He didn't realize it at first. And his reaction was falling flat on his face and crying the words, what does my Lord say to his servant? I think all of us need to fall on our face and realize who it is that we're serving. Realize the magnitude of who he is, his greatness, and say, Lord, what do you have to say to me? What is your plan? Where do you want me to go? I lay aside, I'm down, I can't move. What do you have for me to do? What is your plan? All of a sudden, when that's our mentality, the tables begin to turn. Our motives change. In John 15, verse 19, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. And so this encounter with the pre-incarnate Christ forced Joshua to be unable to move. He fell on his face. It forced him to be unable to move until he knew what the Lord had said. And is there a sense of waiting? Is there a sense of us being unable to move, unable to act until we hear from the Lord? God, what is it that you want me to do? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to hear? And when we realize we walk with the commander of the Lord's army and that we're on his team, his plan becomes our plan. Because the tables have turned. It's not longer my plan and what I want to do, but when we've fallen on our face before him and we've waited upon the Lord, something begins to change in our hearts and his plan becomes our plan. Our goals and our aspirations begin to be aligned because it is Christ himself in us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer failed attempts made out of inadequate strength, but victory and triumph lived out by the indwelling Savior. And just as Jesus prayed in Matthew 6, verse 10, we ought to be compelled to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so just as it's his team, his plan, a life with Jesus is also understanding that it's his glory, not my glory, not your glory. In verse 15, the Lord said to Joshua, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. At this point in time, just picture for a moment where Joshua was standing. He was standing on the soil of the enemy, in front of the enemy fortress. And the commander of the Lord's army says to Joshua, take off your shoes. Now, maybe that doesn't sound like as big of a deal, but when I stop to think about that, he's on enemy soil. He could go out into battle at any point in time. His shoes are a pretty important commodity. His shoes are pretty important. What? Because he's on rocky, uneven terrain. And in the face of battle, his shoes were a sense of security. He couldn't run as fast without them. He couldn't fight as well. He wasn't as stable. He wasn't as able to be agile and move quickly. That gave him the freedom to choose whether to take the high ground or take the low ground, to go to the left or go to the right. And I thought, wow. Just as taking off his shoes was a sign of reverence and respect before the holy King of Kings, Joshua was also essentially saying, as he took his shoes off on the enemy soil, Lord, I give to you my security. I give to you my stability. I give to you my ability, knowing that aside from you, I cannot do anything. I lay down every part of my life that would try to claim the glory that is rightfully yours. Because in my life, when I am secure, what kind of things can I be secure in? Maybe financially? How easy is it to get to a point of financial security and begin to think, wow, look what I've done here. Look what I've put together. Look at my little nest that I've built up here. And it's almost as if as God's saying, lay that down before me, take it off. Give it to me. Give to me that thing that tries so often to take the glory that I am owed, that I deserve, not you. Wow. Colossians 1:27. Oh, it's my favorite verse. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, it's only because Christ is in me that I have any hope of glory. Aside from him, I don't have any hope of glory. So the glory in which I do have can only ever be deserving and owing to him. When Paul is talking about the gift of salvation and the life that comes with it in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, he says, this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works so that anyone can boast. If the way that we are saved is all Christ and none of me, why would the way that we live for him ever be any different? Just as I'm saved by grace and nothing that I've done, the way that I continue to walk with him should be the same. It's nothing that I can do. And therefore, it's all him. It's all his glory. It's all his praise. It's all his honor. And so I challenge you, and it's a challenge to me as well. Let's take off the things that cause us to boast, that cause us to take the glory for ourselves. Let's lay them at Jesus' feet. And let the words of John 3:30 ring so true in our lives that he must increase and I must decrease. Our life with Jesus is his team, his plan, his glory. Jerry Benjamin, a lecturer who comes to Cape and Ray, sometimes said in one of his books, it is interesting to observe that before the walls of Jericho fell before the Israelites, Joshua fell before the Lord. And I just want to leave you with that as we leave from this place. Do we need to fall before the Lord once again this morning? Do we need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've tried to take the reins for the last little while. I'm sorry that I've tried to get you to jump on my team and get you to kind of align with what my plan is. And I'm sorry that I've taken the glory where it was yours. And I think when we do that, when the tables turn, those fortresses and those armies that we will come across every day, in his strength, through the sufficiency of his grace and his life, they'll fall. And we can rest in his strength. So thank you so much. And we have a good God. And he does deserve all the glory.